Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 6th of May, recording at a very early 4:38 p.m. British Standard Time, partly because this is a really, really interesting day, and lots to mention, and including trades, and also because I have a concert this evening. But first, as far as the stock markets are concerned, you know I've been saying that I felt that they were in denial to a certain extent recently, and looking only at the corporate earnings, much improved corporate earnings, but of course it's going to be difficult to maintain those rates of productivity increases, and the good figures that have been coming out recently are comparing with a not-so-hot period earlier on, so the rate of those gains is going to slow over the next year or two, I would certainly think. And also people have been talking about the U.S. economic recovery, but that's also been discounted by a pretty good move upwards in markets since March of last year. And I felt that they were ignoring a number of factors, such as the upward scope for interest rates. We had an interest rate hike in the U.K. today, taking that rate up to 4.25. I don't mind one iota, as I like to sit on a great deal of cash, which is in sterling for the most part. If I want to hedge currencies, I'll do that in the futures markets on a spread bet position. And also, I felt that they were overlooking the imminent oil shock. I think we've already got an oil shock, but crude will have to break above that emotive psychological $40 level, and it hasn't quite done that yet, although it got within an eyelash of it earlier today before a small reaction. And then last but not least, there are plenty of problems in the Middle East, as everybody knows. So I think that these factors, or well, investors have not been able to ignore these factors any longer, and today's action in markets is a bit panicky and certainly has the elements of a downward dynamic, particularly in the European markets. Now, you know my position here. If you've been listening to the audio as you do, in that I am more than fully hedged. My longs are in almost entirely in Asia, plus a few gold positions, and now I'm down to just a couple of remaining UK high yield shares. But the long positions are in Thailand and India and Japan for the most part. Now, I definitely expect to see some further profit erosion. We've had profit erosion the last few days, although not in India. Interestingly, that's one of the steadiest of all. But I don't know if this particular sell-off is the beginning of a major sell-off, which I had been looking for a really very important peak in the stock market cycle this year. But I don't know if this is the beginning of a major sell-off, or if this is just going to be a sell-off that carries on well into the summer, say, I would guess, into August, and then maybe we get a good recovery rally some stage later on. I don't know, but I don't need to know, and nobody can know the answer to that. And there's no point in even trying to guess, but I do want to position myself accordingly. So, as you know, I duly hedged, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, and I over-hedged. So I wanted to be actually net short, and I've actually increased my overall net short position in here today, because I chucked out one of the small remaining equity positions that I had on a spread bet. That's Clinton Cards. It's one of the in the London listed Clinton Cards, and that's a good value play. It's one of the Peter Bennett stocks. It's got a very decent yield. It's got good results. It's got a good chart pattern overall. But I had it, as I say, on a leveraged spread bet play. I'd cut half the position and at 91, and I'd had a sell order at 95 to get the rest out, and it hadn't reached it, and I just thought that's a June contract, being a spread bet position that I had, and I thought I don't want to be rolling that over at a loss or taking a loss on that. So I chopped that out in here today. But does that mean that I've suddenly changed my mind on that particular share or the outlook for those deteriorating? Not at all. Not at all. But I pushed myself a little bit more heavily short by re-adding my NASDAQ short position, which I covered, as you may recall, a couple of days ago. And today's action, subject to where Wall Street closes, looks like a very good downward dynamic. And we had some quite big hits in the European markets. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself in saying that I'd hedged, and I know that I fully expect to see some further profit erosion, particularly in Thailand, where the unrest in the southern part of Thailand, which led to a number of battles between the police and Islamic fundamentalists, has unsettled the market, and that had been the star performer last year. But I'll ride that out. Now, if it were cresting up near the high for the share, and I did sell in January, I sold it near the high and then bought some of it back and so on. But I can live with that. I can ride that down. Despite the high beta, I'm not too worried about that as long as I'm not losing money overall. So thus the full hedging and more than hedging, and although I've mentioned that these are not symmetrical hedges, in other words, I haven't shorted Thailand's SET index against my Thai position in the Aberdeen New Thai Fund, but I don't need to do that really. I've shorted the European mostly and then indices plus the NASDAQ index to take advantage of the downside move. And if Thailand comes way down, well, I won't panic out of that at some point downwards, because if I'm going to, as I've mentioned on a number of occasions, if I'm going to ride anything out over the next few years on the basis that sure they'll come down, they'll be very volatile, but they'll also go up first and go up much more than the Western markets. I believe it's going to be emerging Asia plus Japan. So I'm not worried about those given my current short hedge position. What I was a little bit concerned with a fortnight ago was had I misread the situation, and when I'd said that we were going to see that we'd see sideways at best and more likely down, and there's very little chance of a strong move on the upside. Of course, I could have misread. Anybody can misread the situation, and it was 2 or 3 days too early, but it's coming right rather nicely. Now, so given these moves, and as I speak, the DAX is down 112 points, and maybe close, I'm not sure. FTSE closing down 53 points. These are all well over 1%. DAX is down 2.8%. FTSE, which is a little bit defensive, down only 1.17 point percent rather. CAC 40 down 2%. The Milan, where I've got a short position, that's down 2%. And the charts on those look awful, as you may recall. And I haven't posted them today, but you can imagine what they look like, having seen them previously, given these moves on the downside that we've seen today. Now, assuming that Wall Street closes down with a reasonable decline. Near current levels are lower, and the Dow's currently down 91, 10 on the S&P, and 26 on the NASDAQ. Those aren't as big declines as we've seen in Europe today, but they may well increase before the close. Now, but if they're at this level, let alone lower, I will, as just a money control discipline, put in at least some in-the-money stops on my short positions tomorrow, which would basically give me a free ride. And my only concern about doing that is that these patterns are ranging overall, and therefore it would be quite easy to get more volatility. But on the other hand, if we've got very clear downward dynamics today and it's a good signal, there's a chance that we could get some real follow-through on the downside. And so as in terms of risk control, I will almost certainly do that, as I say, put in some in-the-money stops. I have no stops on these positions currently, as you probably know. Another reason why I'll do it is because I'm taking some risks in other areas, for instance, most notably in the silver silver market. I'm not out all that much, but I'm taking more of a risk there than I am in anything else with that baby steps strategy, 'cause, and therefore, well, risk control is always going to be important for me. It's a prudent discipline, and I think, given quite a sharp sell-off today, it would only be prudent to protect at least some of those positions. So if they bounce back upwards, I could always short again. Now, what else to mention here in the stock markets? Did I mention this? I reshorted the NASDAQ 100 index. Yes, I did mention that. Okay, let's go on to bonds now. Now, I've been sort of saying I was too cautious in taking the profit late last month coming out of the US Treasuries and the JGBs, and I was really concerned about those US Treasuries. They were very weak, just sort of drifting down. Have a look at that pattern today. Well, I shorted them, but because I was shorting on a low following a big decline overall, I certainly didn't want to have a big position, so I've only got one quarter of the position that I'd had previously, but I'm happy to be short again. And if they bounce upwards, I'd probably ride out the short, given the overhanging top activity. I'd probably ride out a bounce in that short position and add to it on the upside on a baby steps basis. Now, with the JGBs, again, I didn't take a big position, but I did manage to short at a little higher level than I had taken the profits there. But that does not offset the difference between the treasury bonds. Treasury bonds are at least about 2 points lower than where I had gotten out previously. With the JGBs, I wasn't more aggressive because they'd had a little sort of rounding bottom there over a couple of months, albeit within a overall large developing top, which extends back to last June, which you don't see on the chart that I posted. So some of you might, if you just look at that chart, a slightly myopic view, that short-term chart what I posted today, and you might think, "Well, my God, it looked more like a buy than a sell." I very much hope it gets a little bit of follow-through on the upside, which it easily could, if the Bank of Japan is in there buying, and in which case I will take advantage of that. Well, hopefully, I'll be taking advantage of that rather than being taken advantage of by that, if you follow me, and short a little bit more on the baby steps basis. Now, in other markets, the palladium, I've been saying that I could buy any of a number of metals in here, and while sort of keeping my fingers crossed that the dollar wasn't going to start to rally sharply once again. And that may happen at some point, but people were a bit a net long dollar. Some people, or a number of short-term traders, were a bit net long dollars, and some of those are have been getting squeezed in here. But the euro's backed off here today. It dipped back down to 120.62, still above that one important 120 level, and it's now at 120.88. It's down 0.87 of a cent in here, and I would really like to see it firm here later in the day and tomorrow. Otherwise, my metal buying will well, there'll be better buying opportunities if the dollar does strengthen. I'm not being too aggressive in here. The only silly thing I did, and this is lack of experience, or I'll put it this way, experience forgotten. In the sense that I traded LME metals very actively in the 1970s and 1980s. That was the great sort of bull run period then, and then some shorting on the way down. But last time, the 70s and 80s, when they had the big backwardations, and they really were attractive propositions then, and the dealers that I was using at the time would only go in during the ring. Or if they went in during the curb markets, it's an arcane system in which they used a unique system. But they would only go in and check quotes very, very carefully. And I just asked my spread bet to guys who are very new to the LME metal game, just said to pick up a position in tin. It's about one third of the position that I'd had previously, and which I sold way too soon. And I got in at a really quite high price, which is irritating. And I think that's what can happen in these in these commodity markets. So I should have put a price on it. So I came in too high, and it's about $100 lower at the moment. You'll be able to see the chart on that. So that was a bit naff. Silver, I just want the volatility, as you know. Although hopefully not all in one one direction. But that's not volatility, is it? That's just a sprint or a trend if it's all in one direction. But that dipped back, and so I bought into the July position. And it's currently, I'm looking at the, beg your pardon, I bought into the September position. I'm looking at the July position right now on the screen. And excuse me, and that's at 592 as I speak. So it's slightly below where the levels were I bought. As you know, I'd taken a profit on my best purchase in the July contract, in which was in my dollar account when I'd switched over to my dollar account and had bought it. 560.61. I didn't quite reach the 620 that I was looking for that other baby steps sale, but seeing it pull back in here today, I picked up a little bit more. Here the dollar will be a big influence, obviously. If the euro strengthens against the dollar, I'll expect to see this back up over $6 tomorrow, up in the 610 or above region, and I'd almost certainly lighten again, play the volatility a little bit. That's important, because I've got longs all the way up to on this baby steps basis 656 and a half, including spread bet costs. And my average cost in the sterling account is 621 and a half. But my average cost in the dollar account is below the market now. So interesting situation, but that's where I've got the most money control vulnerability here, because I haven't got a stop policy on this. I'm not willing to do that at this stage, given the technical action. Okay. The bonds, I mentioned the bonds, the JGBs, euro, yen, that's the dogs of the portfolio department, but it is in profit, and I've got an in the money stop on that now. Ditto natural gas, and I'm keen to pick up more of that. The contract has been volatile recently, and I'd like to see that be a little bit more volatile. I mentioned that crude is to just give me a chance to buy on a bit of a setback, and I'll pick up some more in the September contract. It's short term a little bit overbought right now. Now, the crude oil got up to spot price NYME got up to $39.97. It's currently at $39.40. So just looking at that $40 level, and I've been saying that it was a matter of not if it would break up above that, but when, and that'll be a bit of a psychological watershed overall, and I think maybe Wall Street's beginning to anticipate that at this stage. So that's pretty much my review, except just to mention, how did these other metals hold up here this afternoon? We haven't got the finals on the ring trading, but they were doing quite well earlier on. My tin, as I mentioned, is almost $100 below where I had bought it. I won't go rushing in to pick up more at this stage, although it's tempting. Lead had a good day in here today, up 23 to 760. I own that one, and had been as high as 766. So in lead and in tin, I've picked up a couple of these metals that are in in backwardation. Copper's down a little bit, nickel's down a little bit. I'm not going to be too aggressive in those metals because the current environment I judge to be risky for just about everything. But there are clearly some opportunities here, and I'm currently willing to risk a little in the pursuit of some trading profits, as you have seen. Have a very good evening.